about by my spirit says the Lord, and we said we need to go back some chapters before that to be able to have the proper context of why did God say it? Not by power, not by might, but by my what? Spirit. It's a very popular scripture that's very used, and people pick it up all the time. But we need to understand, why did God say that? What was God referring to? It has to be very important. So, you need to go up to chapter 3 to come down to chapter 4 to be able to understand why God was saying that. And it will bless you when you know what God is talking about. So, in chapter 3, it's Zechariah 3:8, we started there. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. My servant, you need to read from your Bible because this is not working okay. My servant the branch, verse 9. For behold, I'm reading Zechariah 3, verse 9. For behold, the stone, mark the word stone, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be 7 eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, said the Lord of hosts, and I will remove. Watch these things. God is saying, I will do this, I will do this, I will do this, I will do this. I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. And so, in chapter 4, because of time, verse 4. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone, what the word headstone, which is the cornerstone thereof, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Amen. Now, because in Thursday and Friday, we had time to go to scriptures to show that this is reference to Christ and our salvation, and our day of salvation. That God was saying that I'm going to bring forth a stone, and I'm going to lay a foundation with it. And I'm going to make him the chief corner what? Stone. Called him a branch. The branch. Now if you read scriptures, you find that Jesus was called the branch. Coming out of the root of Jesse. He was called the rod. Coming out of the stem. And they called the branch out of the root. And then Jeremiah called him the branch of righteousness. And so you find that he's talking about, God is talking about how he will complete the work of salvation. He said, in one day, I'm going to wipe away their sins. In just one day. And he said, you have this mountain who are there. If you listen to what John the Baptist said, he says, every mountain shall be what? Yeah, that's what he's talking about here. That mountain will be leveled. And so, it's talking about Jesus Christ and what God said. And when Zechariah said, I don't understand all these visions, God told him what, like I said yesterday, that God will, most of the time when you ask God questions, he will tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And with no apologies. I said yesterday that there's no scripture that promises that God will meet your want. What God says, I will meet what? Your needs. What you need, not what you want. Not what you want. So, in asking that question, the angel of the Lord began to tell him what he needed to know. He said, these things you see, it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by what? My spirit. I will do these things. So the work of our salvation is not a work of men. It's not by power, it's not by might, it's by the Spirit of the Lord, it's by the arm of the Lord that our salvation was wrought, that our salvation was completed. And the work of salvation is nothing to do with a man. And even the Holy Spirit writing to the church in the book of Ephesians spelled it out. Still, a lot of people who go to church don't understand it. Is it not my wife that was sharing, saying in my class, many people come and I say, are you saved? They say yes now. And they begin to refer to the work of their hands. And I said yesterday, it's because of wrong teaching. Because the word repent, that Peter said repent and believe, has been misinterpreted to mean you must change before you believe in the Lord Jesus. That's what people teach. Confess your sins and change before you come to Christ. Nothing can be further from the truth. You come as you are to Christ, and Christ will now change. The word repent that was used is because Christ came to his own, and his own what? Yes, and Peter was talking to Jews. He said, you rejected him. The chief cornerstone, you people rejected him. He said, you must repent from rejecting him. You must repent. Because to reject Christ is a major sin for which the Holy Spirit is convicting the world. One sin. The sin of rejecting Christ. Because if you reject Christ, you are damned forever. So the word repent has become something that people use and say, see, here, come and read it. You must repent too. Okay? Oh, yeah, repent. Oh, yeah, confess your sins. Confessing sins, how does it save anybody? God is saying it. It's not by might. It's not by power, but by what? My spirit. It's not what you do. He said, I will do this. And in that day, they will say, grace, grace, grace. What is grace? Unmerited. This is unmerited. I'm giving it to you. I preached to somebody, an Uber driver, and I said, man, you need to give your life to Christ. He said, no, I'm not qualified. I said, what do you mean? He said, because they told me I need to change. He said, my life is not good enough yet. So when I'm good, then I can. I said, who told you that? He said, that's what pastors tell me. He said, this is what I hear everywhere. I said, no, you are qualified now. I said, do you think you are better than me? I said, no, you are qualified. Jesus came for those of us who believe that we are sinners. So you are qualified. He came to change you. He came to renew your life. He came to give you what you can get, the eternal life of God. He said, really? I said, yeah. I said, do you want to do it? I said, I've been wanting before, but I've been waiting for me to be good, to repent. You see, every time I repent, I go back to sin, I repent. So I think I'm not. I said, no, don't worry about that. Now, can you want to give your life? He said, I want to, because I've been wanting. And right in that taxi, we prayed simple prayer. And his face lit up with joy. You could see joy in his face. And somebody has been telling him this and keeping him from receiving a free gift of God. And the same thing that hinders us from receiving the blessings of God. The same thing. And in Ephesians 2, which is a scripture we all know very well, the Holy Spirit is emphasizing it for the church to know. Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace, church, are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's nothing you do. Nothing of yourself. It's not by power. It's not by might. That's that scripture. That's what that scripture is saying. Is that the salvation I'm bringing to you, the grace I'm bringing, is not by your power or might, anything you do. It's by my spirit. It's the arm of the Lord. If you don't get that scripture in context, you will leave it. You won't even know the message. It's to convince you that your salvation is not by your power. It's not by you. So it's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Can I hear amen? Verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works. entire denominations teach this thing of works. That's not the gospel. And I said yesterday that the same power that saved us, the power of God, is the same power that will keep you in this journey. It's the same power. Same power of Christ. Same Christ Jesus. Same power of Christ. Christ, the power of God, that saved us. It's the same power that keeps me daily and keeps you daily, guides you through it. If you remove that power and start trusting in yourself, you will derail. You will derail instantly. In 1 Peter 1:5, I'm reading Amplified, who are being guarded, garrisoned by God's power. We are being guarded and garrisoned, amplified by God's power through your faith till you fully inherit the final salvation that is ready to be revealed for you in the last time. Why is God saying it's not by power, neither by might? So that your faith will not be on the wisdom of men. Your faith must be on the power of God. 24:7. In 1 Corinthians 2:5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Can I hear amen? So, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ that we're talking about, that God says, I'm the one that is executing this salvation for you. And then through that, I am giving you all my blessings, everything. It's being revealed to us through the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel reveals to human beings, all of us, all the promises of God to you personally, that God has fulfilled through Christ. That's why it's called good news. If you read the book of Luke, he's talking about, he said, God has fulfilled the promise he made to our father, what? Abraham, that we, being delivered from the hand of those that hate us, might serve him without fear all the days. So he's talking about God has fulfilled this promise he made to our father, Abraham. So the gospel message conveys to you and to me this good news of what God has done, not by power, not by my might, but by his what? Spirit. It brings it to us as a great news. If the gospel doesn't show you what God has done in Christ, the promises fulfilled, it's not the gospel. It's not a religious stuff. It's about what this hand of God has done. What this hand of God has done. What this hand of God has done. That's what the gospel is. In Christ. So it brings us that message to reveal to us exactly what this hand of God has done. And so the Bible says that faith comes from hearing, and that is hearing the good news about our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I said amen. Now, I said to us that you cannot get a revelation, a better revelation to yourself about what God has done than through the word of the gospel. Now you think seeing vision might do a better job? No. You think seeing miracles might do a better job? No. No. There is nothing that can convey in better clarity the reality of what God has done than the word of God. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. That's why faith doesn't come from seeing miracles. Faith doesn't come from seeing visions. Faith doesn't come from dreams. Faith comes only from what? Word of God. Because that's what will show you the evidence of things not seen and reveal to you the substance of spiritual reality you don't see. It's the word of God that makes it available. And when people don't understand, they belittle the word of God and they are looking for miracles and looking for visions and falling down and rising up. You don't get much. Let's read it again. Romans 10:17, New Living Translation. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from what? Hearing. And that is hearing what? Hearing what? The word of God. New Living Translation says hearing the gospel, the good news about Christ. It will surprise you that a lot of people in Christendom, they don't understand the importance of the word of God. What it does to you is the only thing. The Bible says the entrance of the word bringeth what? Light. It lightens up the reality of the unseen and it becomes real. You can't get it through any other means. Brethren, you cannot. You cannot. The word of God is the ultimate, because that's God himself in word form. From the beginning was the word, and the word, you cannot compare it with anything in bringing revelation of God himself to you. Nothing compares with it. Nothing comes near. A lame man can walk, 10 lame men can walk. It doesn't come near to what God's word does. Doesn't come near at all. You see why people don't study it? He said faith comes through that word, because it's that word that will show you what, when God says, hey, Zerubbabel, these are the things I am doing. I'm raising a stone. I'm raising the chief cornerstone. And in that day, there will be shouts of grace, 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 what I'm doing, grace. Only the word of God can reveal it to you in substance. You see that this is real. This is true. Miracles cannot. And then Peter, our beloved Peter, began to talk. He said, we went to the mountain with Jesus. You remember what happened? What happened at Mount what? Transfiguration? Right? You can't see a better miracle than that. You can't. They went to that mountain and the clouds came, and then they saw, who did they see? Moses and who? So what did God say to them after? This is my beloved son, what? And then our brother Peter, being who he is, said, can we build three tabernacles? He said, one for you, one for, and one for who? So which one is for them? None. The Bible says he didn't know what I was talking, because the revelation was incredible. It's beyond human imagination what they experienced. You can't get a better miracle than that. It, nothing comes close that Jesus suddenly turns into a white you can't describe. The glory was incredible. And all of a sudden, here was Moses. And the cloud covered them and God spoke. You know what Peter said? He said, despite that, we have a more sure word of prophecy. That revelation we saw doesn't compare with this word of prophecy that God is speaking. He says, you compare it with the word of God? No. It's a more sure word. It gives you more assurance. It gives you more revelation. All that cloud, all those things we see, doesn't come near it. It's a mess. The word of God is powerful. Dividing asunder. Soul and what? Spirit. Piercing. Man, it's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. You haven't seen anything until you see the miracle of revelation of the word of the living God. That word is incredible. You know what the word of God has done in this world where we live? It shatters all these things, all these wrong things that we've been carrying around, all these useless doctrines that say repent and you go to Jesus. No, when the word of God enters, it destroys all of them. Cleanses you up. Jesus said, you are clean because of the word I spoke. You don't get clean because of miracles. Miracles don't make you. Miracles can get you excited, start you up, but 1 week after you forget everything. 1 month, no more. In fact, the third month, you are no more even coming to church. Until you hear there's another miracle in East Orange, you go there. People who are doing that never grow, got nothing, because they don't seek God. They want to be entertained. So they go out and tell stories. Praise the Lord. Come on, I said, praise the Lord. See, we got miracle the first time we got saved. The very day we got saved, the Lord did a miracle for my wife and I about having children. But after that, the miracle stopped. He said, now you learn to walk by faith. You get it yourself. And we did. We did. Because we didn't know much, we'll be expecting, I've said, God, please reveal our problem to our pastor again. So we get a miracle again. Push him, zero. Every time we go to church, we'll be waiting. Lord, reveal it to him, reveal it to him. Then he said, there's somebody here with it. I think we're the next person. That is not us. Wait again. That was what was motivating our going to church. As a result, I didn't know God. Push him. She didn't. Push him. We were religious people, ignorant people who didn't know nothing. Because it's what you seek, you get. Because what we're seeking is, there's somebody here. That's what we were seeking for. All the sermon and sermon, we're waiting for, there is somebody here. Once he reaches that period of, there's somebody here, everybody's, all those people sleeping will wake up. You see how people just are baby Christians, don't know anything, nothing, zero. And God said, no, you got to learn to walk by faith now. And then we began. And God is awesome. He knows your heart. And I heard one sermon by Shambach. It was called, Then Came Jesus, when all doors were locked. I stood there, I couldn't move. The sermon got me, I couldn't believe my ears. I said, really? So I went near, I said, how can I hear this? They said, we're selling it. See, you sell? Yeah. Can I buy? I said, what do you mean, buy? And I bought. 7 days non-stop. I didn't listen to anything except that sermon. And from that point, I never went to that church to listen again. If I went there, I wasn't listening anymore. My ears has opened. I've begun to taste the goodness of God. I started to test it. And the next time problem came, I told my wife, I said, bring my children here. Keep this boy here. I'm going to deal with this one. I'm not waiting for any pastor. I said, Satan, in the name of Jesus, take your hands off my child. And that was Kenneth. When he had conversion, how many times? 12? In one day. Conversion. I said, no, not in my house. Why? Revelation has come. It didn't come from that miracle. It came from the word I was studying. No, I could stand. I said, keep him here. It's not happening here. No more. No more. Not in this house. I said, Satan, no more. At last, you're not doing it again. Get out. Leave my boy. Leave my boy. You must leave my boy right now. You're not touching him no more. I said, in the name of Jesus, get out of my house. From that point, it will do no more. I didn't get it by the miracle. It was when I had the word that introduced me to studying the scripture that the word began to enter and brought the light which only the word can bring, and the understanding which only the word can bring. The reality, brethren, the reality of that hand of God in Christ is revealed by the word. And once you know it, you grow. Pa, 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 pa. The way you look at things changes dramatically. You, fear, where is fear coming from? Where did they bring that one from? Fear. What is fear? You know, the Bible says, those that know their God, they shall be what? And they do. That's when I learned that in everything, glorify God, because God is not a disappointment. Praise the Lord. Come on, I say praise the Lord. So Peter said, I don't know how many, okay. So Peter said, man, we saw that. We saw it. He said, but I'm telling you people, please give heed to this word. Keep giving heed until it breaks through and the daylight shines in your heart. He said, the word of the gospel which we're talking about. Let's read it. 2 Peter 1:16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables. I'm reading New Living Translation. When we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we are eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received from God the Father honor, glory, when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard that voice. So we heard his voice. which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mount. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed. New King James Version says we have a more sure word of prophecy. Can you switch to that a little bit? New King James Version. Is this New King James Version? I hope I can. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. The next verse, please go down, go down, go down. The next verse. Because this was confirmed that it's talking about this gospel. He says, and we had this voice, which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. The next one. And so we have this is New Living Translation, is it? Okay, we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a what? In a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. The next verse. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of private interpretation. Continue. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The next verse. No. That's the end of it. King James Version. Yeah, I think it's King James Version I was using. Bring King James Version, please. King James Version. For we did not, King James Version, do you have it? Okay, let's see. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about the gospel now. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Then, and this voice came from the heaven and we heard when we were with him in the holy mountain. We have also a more sure word of what? Prophecy. We have also a more sure word. When I say also, what does it mean? We had this and also this. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. He said, we saw him, we heard all that, but we also have a more sure word of prophecy. And it's talking of when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, this is a more sure word which you do well to listen to until the daylight breaks where? In your heart. Are you following me at all? Now, these promises of God that the gospel brings us is a means through which we receive those benefits. We receive those benefits through the gospel message, through the word of God. It's through them that it reveals to you, for instance, your healing, your righteousness, your blessings, no more under the curse. Your privileges to use the authority of God when you face the devil. It's what I learned from the word that made me stand and say, bring that boy here. There was such confidence because now I realize that I have this authority. But before I didn't know. I depended on a pastor, which is not Bible. Now I realize, no, I can trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And those that trust in him, they will never be put to shame. The rock, the chief cornerstone. I put my faith him, not a man. Not a man. Not a man. No. Not what? A man. Never a man. Not at all a man. Faith in Christ Jesus makes this man to walk. Faith in Christ Jesus makes you experience all the benefits of what God did by his power on the cross of Calvary. So through that message of the gospel, the whole thing is conveyed to us. The whole thing is conveyed to us, all the promises of God, bring us all the benefits that we have. That's why we're heirs of the promise. We're heirs of the promise. We're heirs of the promise. Well, say it with me. I'm a heir of the promise. Come on, say it again. I'm a heir of the promise. And the gospel reveals to me what the promise is. And say amen. Amen. The Bible says you are a heir. What's a heir? What does a heir mean? Huh? Something that is yours, which you inherit, which becomes yours. Through, not, you didn't produce it. Somebody else produced it and gave it to you. And so when the Bible says we're heirs of the promise of God, so what do you inherit really? Talk to me. What do you inherit? The promise. That's what you inherit. That's what you inherit. We are called children of promise. In Hebrews 6:17. Hebrews 6:17. Thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise. Abundantly to the heirs of promise. The immutability of his counsel confirmed it by oath. So we are heirs of his promise. Then these promises are the key to to enjoying the divine nature and the blessings of God. Let me come down and show you something before I come up here and read some more scriptures. Heirs of promise. Heirs of what? Heirs of what? Heirs of what? There is no problem you have that's not covered by a promise of God. There is none. Church, there is none. Don't look for it outside the promise. It's right there. That you don't know, it doesn't mean it's not true. I don't care what that thing is. Everything, no problem you have today that God didn't send the solution to the promise. So if you want to receive the answer, you go to the promise and find the promise that has been fulfilled regarding that situation. Can I hear amen? You go to the promise. But we don't go to the promise. We don't even care. We don't care. We don't care. Because we don't know that we're heirs of promise. If I'm a heir of promise, if this is Chibuzo, come. Rita, don't worry. He's coming back. Heir of promise. Heir of what? Heir of what? If this is what I'm inheriting, church, what should I be looking to get? Huh? Come on now. But supposing I don't know, what else will I be looking to get? Nothing. And what he accomplished for me is this promise fulfilled. And he said, come and receive. You are a heir. Come and receive this promise. I don't care about it. I'm not interested in it. I'm a religious man. Another Pharisee. Another Sadducee. And I think, well, what's he talking about? I can get something else by my power, by my might, by what I do, so that I go and boast. I did 40 days dry, and that was right. When you want to pray, this is what you are looking for. You go to God and say, this is the promise you gave me. And you lay hold on it. Because says, yeah, you are a heir of promise. and it's all yours. Can I hear amen? I mean, can I hear amen, church? It's all yours. It's all what? Yours. I had an experience, a personal experience, that all of a sudden I couldn't walk. I was walking like this. I don't want to do that. So I was looking like this. And I had all manner of pains here that was serious. My life was in limbo. And before it happened, a pastor, one of my friends, we were praying somewhere for churches, and he said, "Pastor, you better get people to stop praying for you, because they are going to attack you. Your faith will be tested severely." Yeah. And it came. I will come to church and dance, preach, and immediately I leave this place, the whole thing comes. But I laid hold on promise, which God has given me. I said, "No, Satan, I'm holding on to this thing on the cross. By his power, he destroyed all your works over me. I'm holding on to this thing. Healing is what he gave me. A promise fulfilled. It's not a promise going to be fulfilled. Already fulfilled." And the battle was on for 1 year. People will come from Nigeria. I'll go to welcome them, carry their heavy box. They will not notice how I'll be walking with it. I will carry it. Surprisingly, they never notice it. And I'll get to the car, lift it, and put it in. And then one day, it was like death was there. I didn't know I would make the following. I said to God, I said, "I prefer to die trusting your word than to doubt you for 1 second. I said, if I doubt you, I'll stop pastoring, because that would be hypocrisy. What am I teaching people? What I don't do? I said, I'm not going to do that. I said, I'm ready to go home. But this word is true. It's true." And it was so bad. So bad. In the morning, I said, "Let me even go and find out what I'm confronting." So my wife didn't know. I don't believe in talking about what the devil is doing. No. My mouth shall show forth what? His praise continually. That's why you need to make sure. Because if you are talking what he's doing, he will defeat you. So I got to St. Barnabas. Which one is in Livingston? St. Barnabas. So I got there. And immediately I walked, and immediately I told them what was happening. They said, sit down, come move again. No more movement. No, we are not moving. I said, "Hey, listen, I came to find out what is wrong. I'm leaving." They said, no, you are not leaving. "Oh, you can't leave. Sit down. And I sat down. I'm in their domain, now I have to obey them. So they wheeled me. I said, "Is this what they do to people?" So they wheeled me to one room, and immediately they chained me. They were running all over the place, and immediately two cardiologists came. And they came, they were looking really concerned. You know, if you see the concern in their face, I was laughing. They were concerned. I said, "You don't have to be quiet, you confess." No. So they put some piam. They've taken blood, put everywhere. And then they came to take more blood. I said, "How much is remaining? You've taken a lot. My friend, what do you want?" I said, "What do you want? You're taking a lot of blood." I said, "You took the first one, took the second one. You come back for the third one. So what will remain for me to go home with?" The girl was laughing. So they took the blood. After some time, the cardiologist came back. He said, "We can't find anything wrong with you." I said, "Really, there's nothing." He said, "But there's one more procedure I would do." I said, "What is that?" He said, "I'm going to put something here through your heart to see if you have blockade." I said, "You won't find anything." I said, "I want to prove it. Try. I have a promise that is true." Yeah. If Jesus is not real, let's stop church. Let's stop deceiving ourselves. But if he's real, you can hang your faith on him. Amen. I'm telling you, don't care what the world is talking. Many people come to church, they don't trust him anymore, because they're not reading his word. And so they said to me, "You sign, because this thing can cause your heart attack." I say, "It won't cause." "Anyone," they say, "I can interact it." They say, "Can I?" Say, "No, not my body. It's bought with a price. You don't know what you're talking about." I said, "Let me sign, nothing will happen." I signed, and then they put me there, and they knocked me out. I said, "See, this is what they do to people. They knock them out." So I was knocked out. I've never been in a theater all my life. It was the first time. I said, dude, this is how this theater looks. Really? Wow. So they knocked me out. I didn't know what was happening. The next time I woke up and I caught them. So when I woke up, I said to the cardiologist, I said, are you not done? He said, I'm 60% through the way. But he said, look, you are so healthy. He said, you are so healthy. I can't find anything wrong with you. So he went through. I said, when you finish, he said, I'm telling you, you are so healthy. He said, you know, you are going to go because I can't keep you. He said, there's no reason to keep you here. We find nothing wrong with you. I said, when I came, I told you I'm going. You think I'm joking? Between your word and my word, I am a child of God. I talk for God. The Bible says, if you shall say and believe that what you say shall come to pass, you shall have it. I came here, I told you I'm going. Now you're confirming I'm going. Well, I didn't quote all the scripture to him. It's not necessary. But I knew what I was in. So, but they said, okay, they put me in a room and they were getting ready for me to go put some monitors here. And I said, I'm not going until I eat your food. Because you kept me here since morning. So they brought the food. It was only water. Water and small, tiny vegetables there. I drank it. But all this while, I was enjoying their mattress. I didn't know they had beautiful mattress. You press it, the thing will come up. I can't have that. I will go down. So I was doing the game. Come up and go down. And come up and go down. That's all I was doing. I was laughing. I said, this is what this will be. Come up. I got into my car, drove home. I told my wife, I said, do you know where I was? He said, no. So I was in St. Barnabas. He said, what do you go to do? I said, well, you know, I haven't told you, but you know, the devil is wasting his time. I don't want to talk about him. So I'm good. I'm here. Believe you me, I didn't know when he left because I took my mind off it. Because I know his promises is yea. He told me so. He told me so. He said so. He said so. It's through the gospel I saw it. That he bore my sicknesses and bore my infirmities. I said, yeah, he did. I had that boom, boom in my spirit. I took this thing away from him. It's the gospel that conveys it to you. And it is through this conveyance of the truth, you take what is yours. Because you can't take what you don't know is yours. Let's read scripture. Are you getting anything? Let's read scripture here now. Let's read scripture here now. 2 Peter 1:3. 2 Peter 1:3. Everything that goes into life. Life and what? This is message. Okay, let me read message too. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by letting you know. It has been miraculously given to us by getting you to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God. The best invitation we ever received. We were also given absolutely terrific promises to pass on to you. Your ticket to participation in the life of God after you turn your back on the world corrupted by lust. After you stop walking by sight and stop walking like the world walks. Say, this is your ticket to the life of God. Is God sick? I'm asking. So your ticket to a life that's not sick. Has God been defeated before? The promise is your ticket to victory. The life that is not defeated. Does God sin? I'm asking. So the promise is your ticket to a life that doesn't sin. It's your ticket to participation in the life of God. So you live like God. You live the life of God. You live the life of God. The life of victory. The life of authority. The life of power. Life that is holy. You live it. It's not holy. We're preaching holiness and yet nobody's holy. One pastor came to me from Nigeria. He said, pastor, I finished series on special holiness. say, you did? He said, yes, I just finished it. I said, Pastor, are you holy? The thing caught him on our words. I said, are you holy? He said, the thing stopped immediately. I said, no, you know you are my brother. Are you holy? And if you are not, where did you learn what you are teaching? I said, this hypocrisy is nonsense. We come talk holiness, holiness. Be holy, holy, holy. Which nobody is committed to be. Your participation to a life of holiness is through these promises that God gives you. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's by His Spirit says, the Lord, it's through this. He gave you a new life. He created you in true holiness and in true righteousness. You lay hold on this. Bam, the thing becomes real in your day-to-day life. You lay hold. You can't run away from the promises. Because here are promises. You can't go and say, okay, I'm going to be holy. By what power? Somebody again talked to me about holiness somewhere. And it wasn't long we were discussing. And he told me how they use somebody's name to do something for him. He has forgotten about holiness talk. I said, Pastor, they wanted to help me, Ojari. They helped me. They used that brother's name to do it for me. See, when we talk of holiness, people think it's about sex only. And then pretending to be. And many people bear grudge, gossip, and they think that way. It's all rubbish. It's lack of understanding. Your purity, your holiness derives from the promise that God gave you. What He has already accomplished in your life. That when you embrace it, it becomes your ticket to experiencing a true life of holiness. A true one. Where the love of God envelops your life. Where you live by love. You don't gossip nothing. You don't see evil in people. Where you live a humble life. The power of God is activated by your faith in what Christ has accomplished in your life. The love of God oozes. All this, when we do all this holy thing, we become proud. Then we can't judge everybody else. That brother is not like me. Who made you a standard? And when you see such people run away, because they are the most sinful ones, that's what I found out. They are Pharisees. If you really, really have Christ in you, you will embrace everybody. Because that's what He did. He embraced what? Everybody. He loved everybody. That's how you know who is a Christian. Because he who does not love does not know God. If you love, you love everybody. You repent easily. You go and apologize easily. Easily. You go, my brother, I'm sorry I hurt you. I shouldn't have said. I'm really so sorry. Because now, it's no more about you. Something has taken over your life. It's called eternal life. It's the Spirit of Christ. Can I hear amen? Can I hear amen? Can I hear amen? I said, can I hear amen? And guess who we found out first are your children, your wife. I said yesterday, this is one of the reasons we are losing the younger generations. They are not coming to church. It's because the adults, their life is a contradiction. So they think this doesn't work. They don't see how Christianity really helps them out in life. They don't. Praise the Lord. So, I'll read a few more scriptures and I stop. Let me read this scripture and I read a few more and I'm stopping. Are you getting anything? Can I hear amen? Are you holy? We are holy because Christ has made us holy. It's not by power, it's not by might, but by my Spirit. Remember what I read before? That power will guide you, lead you, instruct you. He said, just follow me and I will make you. And I will what? Make you. I will transform you. I'm the one. It's not your power, but I'll do that. Amen? Romans 4:16. So the promise is received by faith. Everybody say, by faith. I want to hear you. By faith, the promise is received. By faith, it is given as a free gift. And we all are certain to receive it. It's given by as a free gift, and we receive it by faith. And that's the way Abraham received Isaac. He did not waver at the promise of God. In Romans 4:20, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God. You see, he brought glory to God by believing. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that we will also be counted righteous if we believe like Abraham did. Yesterday, I don't have time today. Yesterday, I had time to talk about Abraham. And then you find that the Holy Spirit splattered Abraham all over the Bible to teach the church how to believe. Romans talks about Abraham. Galatians talks about Abraham. Hebrews talks about Abraham. The life of Abraham. The life of faith of Abraham. Because he lived in the same type of dispensation like the church is living. The time of grace. And I gave you a reason why Abraham lived in the time of grace. There was no law. So he lived simply by faith. So you find the Bible is saying the way Abraham received the same promise of Isaac is the same way we receive the same promise that is fulfilled for us in Christ Jesus. And finally, I want to end with this. That promise, like I said, the hope he gives you is an anchor. But because of the promise doesn't mean the storms won't come. They do come, and sometimes it is severe. Amen? Amen? So I want to read this to comfort you, to help you, to be strong. Hebrews 6:13. I'm reading New King James Version. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. So when God made a promise to you, the Bible calls it a promise and also a what? A promise and also what? An oath. When God made a promise to us, that word was not just a promise, it was also God's oath. So he said, when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless you. I'm multiplying. I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men in this swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all disputes. 17. Trust God. Determining to show you. Can you point to somebody for me and say, you? Come on, do it with love. Come on. You. Let's do it again. You. Come on, let's do it again. You. Come on, do it with life. Come on. You. When God determined to show you, Abby, to show you, to show your daughter, to show you, Reuben, to show you, yesterday I was doing it, my son said, to show you grace. When God determined to show you personally that what he promised you, you can trust in it, he swore an oath. Can you imagine that? See, my purpose is to assure you that you see this promise. It's yea and amen. So that's my purpose in doing this. So verse 17. Thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise, and we are the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. We didn't flee to men. We fled to the gospel. We fled to the promise that reveals the hope to us. And this hope is not a regular hope. Because the regular hope is about things not seen, that don't exist. This is hope about things that exist, but has not been seen. You know, the Lord was saying, I said, Lord, this thing, he said, let me show you what you can use. He said, something like pregnancy. He said, when somebody is pregnant, has he received the baby? Yeah. Does he see it? But he has a hope that after 9 months, that hope is not the hope like somebody who is hoping to get pregnant. The hope of faith is not hoping that God will do it. It's hope that God has already done it. But I'm standing on this, my eyes will see it. Are you getting my point? So it's like the pregnancy has come. The word of God is the seed. I've received it. It is true. It is amen. It's like I'm pregnant. I don't see it, but as far as God is God, this thing will come to reality. And you stand. He said, Abraham, he said, the reason God said that as well on oath is to bring you strong consolation so that when the billows of life, when the devil begins to tempt you and try to shatter that thing, try to make you say, no, it's not true, it's not working, he said, understand that I've sworn an oath to you. And then they said some other thing. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of what? Every time the Spirit of God is talking about the high priesthood of Jesus, I want you to check in the Bible. He will always emphasize it's after the order of mercy. Up to 5 times, he repeated it. And that repetition is not for joke. It's for another day. We'll talk about it another today. But what I'm trying to show is the anchor. I wish I had a rope. I wish I had a rope. I wish I had brought a chain on a rope. He said the thing, the hope, the gospel gives you. The revelation you get about what God has done gives you expectation. He said that expectation you have is not a false one. He said because it is coming from you. Mike, where are you? Come on. Chibuzara. Come on. Mike, you stay there. Go all the way back there. Today we make you God. You are not God though. Oh, yeah, Chibuzara, you're Christ. You stand in front of him. No, I'm Christ, my friend. Come here. Watch, please watch us. Let me say, let's just imagine that the hope is a rope which he trusts in me. So he is holding to my word. He lays hold on the promise. He's a heir of what? Promise. He lays hold on that which the gospel has revealed to him. By the stripes of Jesus, you have been healed. All no weapon formed against you shall prosper. The power of the blood to protect you. You've been redeemed from the powers of Satan. You've been redeemed from all that hate you and all. Yes. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. So, the Bible said this thing, come near my, this thing he's holding on. He said, lay hold on eternal life, for instance. Lay hold and don't let it go. Don't say, no, you are not unholy. No, lay hold. God has purified me. He has created me holy. Lay hold and insist that that is true. He said, keep believing that. There will be storms. You may not see it first day, may not see it second day. Why? Your faith will be tested like as a fire. The enemy will raise storm, raise fire, raise. He said, that storm. He said, this thing you are holding comes to Christ. And Christ being the guarantor is the one holding it here. And in the presence of God Almighty. He says, so, it's an anchor that holds your soul. Because you know where it is anchored. Can I hear amen? Amen. So now, when the billows are coming, billows, because they shall come. They do come. Billows are coming, trying to contradict it. He said, remember that this thing goes into the presence of God, where your high priest has gone before you to stand on your behalf, holding this promise for you. You hold it that in, and in the presence of God Almighty, nothing can break it. Amen. It's about nothing. No storm, no wind, nothing. The only person who can live it is you. But as long as you say, this is yea and amen, Let heaven fall. Nothing can spoil it. Nothing. Amen. Nothing. It will come to pass. Pipe to pass. Nothing. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Church, I said, praise the Lord. Come on, church, I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Come on, I said, praise the Lord. We're heirs of his promise. His promises are yea and amen. I don't care what is happening. I don't care how the billows come. This is tied to Christ. And Christ is standing for me in the presence of God. Come hell, come high water. What God says will come to pass. Come on, let's rise up and worship him.